for some boggling? Want to have your mind boggled? This is mind-boggling. In John 15, Jesus tells his disciples that they, and by extension you and I, are his friends. Jesus uses that word friends three times in just these six verses that Keaton just read to us. He says it outright in verse 14, you are my friends. That's where we get our sermon title. And in verse 15 he says, I have called you friends. What a privilege to carry that designation, a friend of Jesus. Is that how you think of yourself this morning? I am a friend of Jesus. Friendship was an important category in the ancient world. I've been reading a great book recently about friendship in the Bible by Rebecca McLaughlin. It's called No Greater Love, A Biblical Vision for Friendship. Highly recommend it to you. There's a whole chapter just on this passage that we're looking at today. Friendship in that world was similar to, and yet also kind of different from what we tend to mean when we use the word friend today. It was different in that friendship didn't always mean that the two people in the friendship relationship were considered equals. One could actually be a subordinate to the other. We don't tend to use the word that way about most of our friendships, but they often did. And we're going to see that here. Jesus is not saying in John 15 that he and his disciples were equals in everything. Share and share alike. Friend and friend alike. We are not equals with Jesus. But we are his friends. Being a friend did mean back then that there was a special bond between the two people. And the word friend still means that to us today. It takes a kind of love to be a friend. In fact, the Greek word translated friend is philos. Do you hear a love word in there? Philos, the noun form of the Greek verb for loving something. Like, for example, a sibling. Philadelphia, city, or Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. Phila is the love part. Delphos is the brother part. Philadelphos, supposed city of brotherly love. A philos is someone you care about, someone you're attached to, someone you have something in common with and you are fond of them. You have affection for them and a bond. Yesterday, Macy had a string of gorgeous ladies out here to her right, and Peter had a string of handsome men out here to his left, and they were their philoi, their friends, their posse, right? Their gang, their tribe, their friends. Jesus says to his disciples, and by his extension to you and me, you are my friends. Last week we saw that Jesus called these same people the branches, right? He was the true vine, and his father was the gardener. Do you remember this from last week? Does that make the father the first branch manager? Sorry, couldn't help it. Jesus said that he was the true vine, and his true disciples were the true branches whose main job was to just stay vitally connected to him. The key word, remain, dwell, abide. We see here, this is our, hey Josh, thank you for loaning us this last week, right? Out of your vineyard, a cutting. This is what happens when a so-called branch does not remain. How many grapes will this cut-off branch yield for the gardener? You say, right? Absolutely none. But if a branch stays connected, is this how the branches look at your house, Josh? No. In fact, there's grapes growing there. Concord grapes that someday you can pop in your mouth, right? If a branch stays connected to the true vine, then it will bear much fruit, as we saw in verse 5 last week, and as Brenda quoted for us today. And as Jesus said in verse 8, this is to my Father's glory. That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so now he calls these branches his friends. This is the same occasion. This is the same night. It's just actually just a few verses along and the same teaching. Jesus knows that he will soon be arrested. Soon he's going to be tortured. Soon he's going to be mocked. Soon he's going to be killed. He's going away to the cross. And before he goes, he's telling his followers that they aren't just his followers. They're his friends. And now here Jesus explains some of what that means. And he gives them at least three things that they're supposed to do because of it. Three points of application this morning. Here's the first one. Jesus says, "You are my friends, so love like it." Look at verse 12. "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Jesus has been emphasizing obedience to his commands throughout the parable teachings. We've seen it again and again, haven't we? We had a whole sermon devoted to obeying his commands when the challenge kids got back. Chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me," in other words, if you're my friends, "you will obey what I command." In verse 9, Jesus said that if we obey his commands, we will remain in his love. We will live in his love. We'll stay connected, dwelling in his love, like friends. And here he says what his big command actually is. Love each other as I have loved you. Jesus wants his branches to love his other branches. Let me say that again. Jesus wants his branches to love his other branches. Love each other as I have loved you. Jesus keeps hammering this idea, doesn't he? He's going to repeat it again in verse 17. And it is his new command that he gave earlier this very evening when they were still around the table, just after he had washed their feet. It's our memory verse for 2024. We said it already. Let's say it again. "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." You think he wants us to love one another? It must not be that easy to do. It must not come naturally to us. We have to be commanded. We have to be reminded. We have to be told how important it is to our Lord that we do it. Love each other. That's important because we're different from one another, aren't we? We have different values, different personalities, different politics, different priorities, different backgrounds. These branches on Jesus' vine can be wildly different from one another, but we all have the true vine of Jesus in common, and so we're supposed to love the other branches. And Jesus doesn't just tell us to do it. He shows us how. Look again at verse 12. "Love each other as I have loved you." That's key, isn't it? Jesus is our example of this, and there is none greater. Verse 13. "Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." That's another key one to memorize. There's no greater love than sacrificial love for someone you say that you love. It's one thing to say you love someone, to say that they are your friend, your philos. That's a good thing to say. We should say it. Even saying it is a kind of love. We should regularly say to our friends, "I love you." But it's totally different love on a greater level to actually show your love by sacrificing yourself for your friend. And it's even greater if your friend is not your equal. If your friend is your subordinate, like the shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. The shepherd is greater than the sheep. But the good shepherd, the best shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. The good friend, the best friend, lays down his life even for his inferior friend. We are not equal with Jesus, and yet we are his friends. And Jesus laid down his life for us. Jesus knows what's coming. He knows Satan is on his way. He knows that he will be dead in less than 24 hours from asphyxiation while nailed to a post. And he's choosing it. He's laying down his life. They didn't take it from him. He laid down his life willingly because he loved us. Because we are his friends. Greater love has no one than this. If that doesn't boggle your mind, you haven't gotten it yet. Or you've forgotten what you know. But remember, the main reason why Jesus is mentioning his sacrificial love here is because he wants us to do it too. Jesus wants us to love each other as he has shown love to us. How are we doing in that? How are we doing in loving the other branches on the true vine? The branches that are different from us. The branches that drive us crazy. The branches that we wouldn't relate to if they weren't also branches. Jesus says, my command is this, love each other. He's talking to 11 disciples who may have hated each other's guts if they weren't all connected to Jesus. Did you ever look at the backgrounds of Jesus' disciples and how different they were from one another? We think it's impressive when Christian Republicans and Christian Democrats can love each other in Jesus in America. But Jesus' own inner circle had a zealot and a tax collector in it. One who colluded with the Romans and one who wanted to overthrow them. My command is this, love each other. How are we doing at loving the other branches? Here's the measure. Are we sacrificing? Are we laying down our lives for those who say we love? Most of the time, our laying down our lives is not dying for someone like taking a literal bullet for them, jumping in front of the bus. Most of the time, it's a little death. One little death, one little sacrifice at a time. It's laying down your rights. It's refusing to fight. It's putting someone else's best interests ahead of your own. By that standard, who have you recently died for? Yesterday, out in the field, I gave some last premarital counseling to Peter and Macy, right? No more premarital for them. And I said that they need to forgive each other regularly as Christ forgave them. Some people have said that being in love means never having to say, I'm sorry, right? But it's actually the opposite. It's getting to say, I'm sorry. And it's getting to say, I forgive you. And as Christians, it's not just I forgive you, but it's I forgive you as Christ has forgiven me. That's dying a little death, isn't it? It's laying down your life instead of demanding your rights and saying, I let this go. That's laying down your life for someone. Who have you recently died for? Don't wait until they deserve it to begin. Thankfully, Jesus did not wait until we deserved it, while we deserved his love, for him to lay down his life for us. Don't wait until that other Christian in your life has become worthy of your love before you start laying down your life for them, because they won't ever. One great example of this, of how our church family is growing in love, is our Malawi missions team. Keith and Mary Beth and Steph gave up some of their limited vacation time to go over the sea and share our love with our Malawi branches. Those were Malawi branches that we saw up on the screen tonight. And you all gave from your own funds to send them. And you gave from your own hard-earned funds to send along with them money for food. That's laying down your life for those you call your friends. That's following our Lord's example and obeying our Lord's command. That's acting like Jesus' friends. You are my friends, Jesus says. So love like it. That's the point of verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. Now that sounds a little funny to our ears, doesn't it? Because we don't tend to talk like that to our friends. You're my buddy if you do what I say. Right? You ever said that to your friend? Probably not, unless you have your tongue in your cheek. But that's not what he's talking about. It's not a buddy-buddy friendship here. Jesus is saying that if you do what he commands, you will show yourself to be his friend. A true friend is someone you can count on. A true friend is someone who acts like one. We could say it like this: you are my friends, so live like it. Our obedience does not make us his friends. It shows that we are. You are my friends, and everybody will know it if you do what I command. How wrong would it be if we said that we were the friends of Jesus and we lived the exact opposite way that our Lord asked us to? A true friend wants what their true friend wants. We show our friendship to Jesus by our obedience. Now that's different from just blind obedience, right? That's different from just mindless obedience. That's the point Jesus makes in verse 15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Now there is a sense in which, of course, we are still his servants. But Jesus is emphasizing here that we are not mindless slaves. We aren't robots. We aren't following Jesus' commands just because he says so and he's more powerful than we are. We don't just obey because we're scared of being punished if we don't. We obey because we are his friends. We obey because we love him. We obey because he's told us what he's up to and we're part of it. This is saying that we're on Jesus' team. That's mind-boggling. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. They don't get what God is up to. They don't know what he's up to in the world. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Jesus has told them about the mission that he was sent on. He's told them about his special relationship with the Father. He is the monogenes, the one and only begotten Son, sent from the Father, full of grace and truth. He's told them about the Father's love for the big, bad world, and how he sent his one and only Son to save everyone who believes in him. He's told them that he's going away to prepare a place for them, and that he's coming back for them to take them to be with him. He's told them that he's going to ask the Father to send another counselor, the Holy Spirit, to take his place. They're not in the dark. He's told them. Everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Jesus has taken them into his confidence. He's disclosed himself. He's shown them the Father. They are not his equals, but they are his confidants. They've been brought into his circle. They are his friends. And so are we. You are Jesus' confidants, and you should live like him. We know what Jesus wants from us. We have all of his teachings to study and put into practice. And we even know why we're supposed to do them. We are not mindless slaves. We are inner circle intimates. Are we acting like it? Jesus tells his followers that they are on the inside with him because he took the initiative to bring them in there. They aren't there because they're so smart, or because they deserve it, or because they moved first. Look at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Oh, and there he's back to the vine metaphor, isn't he? Jesus says his disciples did not love him first. He loved them first. Before they ever chose him, he was choosing them. We saw that in chapter 1 when he started gathering his disciples to himself, and he's doing that again today. He always makes the first move, even if we never perceive it. We love because he first loved us. He came after us to make us his friends and to make us his branches, bearing much fruit that will last forever. We are his friends because of his love, and we should live like it. We should live lives like Jesus' lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Last week we said that bearing fruit meant more followers of Jesus, and it meant more followers of Jesus living like Jesus. That's what we're trying to do this week with the Good News Cruise, isn't it? We're trying to make more followers of Jesus and live as followers of Jesus more like Jesus. And that's the main thing, right? And as we say around here, the main thing is to keep the main thing. The main thing. Jesus told us, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. You're my friends, so live like it. And pray like it. Look at verse 16. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Third and last point, pray like it. Jesus says that when we are on mission, bearing lasting fruit, his Father will give us whatever we ask in his Son's name. The Father delights to answer our prayers as we pray them in the name and authority and will of his Son. Jesus has been hitting on this theme over and over again in the farewell teachings as well, hasn't he? He wants us to ask for things. Just because he's going away doesn't mean that we have no access to God. Instead, we've been given his Spirit, and we have prayer in his own name. And the Father's listening. I think Jesus says this kind of thing over and over again because we are tempted to not believe it. We often do not believe that the Father really wants us to pray and he really will answer our prayers. But Jesus presents a consistent picture of a generous Father bent on giving good gifts to his people. The Father gardener loves to bless the branches as they reach up to him. One of the true marks of friendship is being able to ask for something, right? Like, you know somebody's your friend if you can ask something from them. You say, I need a favor, and I'm asking what? As a friend, right? This weekend, whenever Peter and Macy asked their wedding party to do anything, off they went and did it. No questions asked. They were there. Whatever you need, we're here for you. We'll take care of that. One of the most important parts of having a friend is being there for each other. Well, Jesus doesn't need anything from us, but he asks for our obedience, and he wants us to ask him for stuff, and his Father for stuff, and because we are his friends, we should expect answers. And of course, a truly good friend will tell you no from time to time if you're asking for something dumb or bad or at the wrong time, but the best of friends love to help their friend out. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask. In my name. What are you asking in Jesus' name today? I've got my list. I've recently put something on my list that I'm asking for every single day. I'm asking the Father through the Son in the Spirit. He hasn't given it to me yet, but I'm asking. I'm a branch connected by faith to the true vine, and I'm asking. I'm a friend of Jesus. And I'm asking, what are you asking for? Pray for the Good News cruise this week. Pray for all the details and pray for lost souls. There are guaranteed to be lost people on our campus on Saturday, and we need to pray for them. I have called you friends, so pray like it. As the song says, take it to the Lord in prayer. Here's another thing to pray for. Pray for the love you need to love the other branches. Because that's where Jesus circles back to, verse 17 and last. This is my command. Love each other. I think he's serious about that. It's not an option for the branches on the true vine. Jesus wants his branches to love his other branches. And mind-bogglingly, he has shown us no greater love than this at the cross.